Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Have you opened the door yet to a campaigning local councillor looking for your vote? Or perhaps you've noticed posters going up around your town or your village? Well, on this day, in just 7 weeks' time, on the 7th of June, we'll be going to the polls to elect our local councillors. The last council elections were held in 2019. But in recent weeks and months, over 100 councillors have indicated they will not be seeking re-election. Some are retiring, of course, but others have various reasons for stepping back from local representation. And our reporter Brian O'Connell has spoken to several councillors about why they've decided not to stand again. And Brian joins me now. Good morning, Brian.
Morning, Claire.
The reasons, of course, are varied, but there are some common themes you found.
There are some common themes. Adrian Kavanagh, who's a lecturer, as we know, in the Department of Geography in Maynooth University, has a very good blog on his website. And he's detailed just over 100 councillors, as you said, who are not going for re-election in June. This figure is likely to rise. So in recent days, I have been talking to some of them, asking them really what are the main reasons for not putting themselves forward again, what has changed in the role in the past 5 years, what are some of the challenges. And some people obviously have their own personal reasons for not going forward again. But I have to say, nearly everyone I spoke to highlighted a changed environment, far greater personal scrutiny, a lot more online and in-person abuse, unfortunately, and even death threats as some of the main factors and contributory factors in retiring.
Well, let's start in East Cork then, and someone who was a political newcomer 10 years ago.
Fine Gael Susan McCarthy really got into local politics by accident. She was advocating for more and better childcare in her community, and she found herself falling into local representation, first elected in 2014 and again in 2019. And she's the first to say it was really an honour to represent her community. But there was a dark side to the role and to the representation. It was one of the factors that has caused her not to go forward again for election this June.
There wasn't a particular moment because it was very insidious. It just worsened, like you might limit your use of social media, which is very, it's a real shame it has gotten so, so toxic.
And in terms of the abuse and in terms of the kind of comments you'd get, some of it, I would imagine, was quite personal.
Very personal. And I think it has been proven from various studies that this happens more for women, actually. They will comment on your hair, your clothing, your general appearance, sometimes with sexual connotations. It goes up as far as I did receive a death threat as well, a handwritten letter. They will target you personally and your family. When men are targeted, especially in the political sphere, it's more to do with something they have adopted. It's more to do with their job. It's more to do with policy. But when women are targeted, it does get a lot more personal. And that has been borne out by various studies that have been done. Yeah.
So why have you decided not to go forward again? I mean, it would be perfectly understandable given what you've seen, but what were the main reasons for you?
It is not the main reason that I'm leaving politics, but it certainly has helped me make my decision because you do think, you know, why am I doing this? Being a public representative, you need to have a thick skin. It's when it starts to get really, really personal and this, you know, trying to kind of make you into something that you're not. It's just abuse. There's no other way of putting it. It's abusive and it's nasty and it's just this horrible invective that just, it doesn't have any bearing on the work that you're doing at all. And we are human, as I said. So, you know, no matter how strong we are, that may get you on a bad day. You may have already had kind of a very, very adversarial meeting over something that you're trying to pass in chamber, you know, and then you have this kind of pile on sometimes on social media on top of that. It's not good. It's not good for anybody's mental health.
So that's Fine Gael Susan McCarthy in East Cork. Now moving to Dublin and the Labour Party's former Lord Mayor of Dublin, Alison Gilliland, who again became elected councillor for the first time in 2014, not going forward for election this June. She tried to juggle the role and her day job as well, but in the past few years she had taken a career break and now she feels really it isn't sustainable. She spoke to me about her reasons for retiring.
It's got to the stage where we've a massive workload and I'm the type of person that likes to be on top of everything, even though if it's not related to my own specific policy group or my own specific area, I like policy. And the time and the money, being perfectly honest with you, do not compensate. I've been on Career Break for the last 3 years. Before that, I was on a 3 to 4 day week, so I could juggle it. But the more you get involved, particularly during my year as Lord Mayor, Chair of Housing, I'm Chair of the Emergency Services Committee, I'm involved in a few other subgroups, that takes time. And you cannot juggle, you cannot give your best to both. I suppose from paying a mortgage perspective, it's been pretty difficult.
What's the remuneration?
We are paid, I think it's almost 29,000 a year. Then we get our monthly expenses depending on the number of meetings that you attend. If you don't attend, you get a deduction, which is quite correct. At the moment, my councillor's salary would pay my mortgage plus, say, my electricity bill. I had a career before I got into politics. I've juggled it for the first sort of 5, 6, 7 years of it. But I need to, I'm at that age where I need to think of years down the line and how am I going to survive that way. And if I'm finding it difficult with my mortgage at the moment, that's not going to ease up. If it's to be seen as a professional full-time job, you need to pay us as professionals.
Okay, so it's the workload there, the time and the money. But another issue you came across was councillors feeling that they didn't have control over policy.
This is something that several councillors told me, especially councillors who had served long term. They felt they had less power and less influence now than when they began their political careers, and they saw this essentially as an erosion of the role. So for Fine Gael councillor Johnny Flynn in Ennis, this was one of the main reasons he's now bringing an end to a 20-year career as a local councillor.
I believe we have gone into an era of very significant corporatization of local government. We have a lot of managerialism. The executive have a lot more power.
And in the role itself, Johnny, like, how has the role changed? We know there's a lot more targeting of politicians now. You have online abuse. It's a different environment, isn't it?
It certainly is, I suppose. I stood in 2004 on a tagline of no expenses, no junkets and no top-up payments, because the Mahon Tribunal had really damaged the political image of people. So at the door, I was able to meet people and say, look, if I get paid anything as a councillor, I'll pay tax on it like you do and everybody else does. Mm-hmm. The pay has increased, but it's not attractive for a lot of younger people because it's nearly a full-time job. You know, if you look at the operational structure of local government, councillors are supposed to be at the top representing the people. But in fact, we're somewhere down along the line. There are so many committees, so many consultants employed. There's so many reports produced that have already decided the outcome. Elected representatives are not brought into the core of decision making.
Was it a difficult decision for you not to go again?
It was very difficult. It's an unbelievable honour to be able to walk in and sit in a chamber. You mightn't be listened to, but at least to be able to sit there and know that, you know, you can hold the system to account and you can recognise when it works well. So it has been fantastic, a great honour. It's been a great honour to represent people.
Yeah, it's really interesting to hear the logic behind bringing a 20-year career to an end. That's Johnny Flynn there. So you've been looking at a recent report into local government. What did that find?
Yes, I have it in my hand. It's commissioned by the Association of Irish Local Government, 21st Century Councillor in Irish Local Government, it's called. It's about a 90-page report published at the end of December. And essentially it looked at issues surrounding local elected members and the pressures they're under. And it was sparked really by the fact that a high number of councillors, as we said at the outset, are leaving or else not seeking re-election. I did speak to Dr. Aidan Quinlivan, who's a lecturer in the Department of Geography and Politics in UCC, about this report and about the general issue of the number of councillors not going for election again. And this is some of what he told me yesterday.
The system has become less and less local. So, for example, in 2014, we abolished all of the town councils. So that means, for example, that our county councils are now covering much bigger territory. So our ratios in terms of numbers of citizens to councils and number of citizens to councillors are very, very high. So we've an extremely kind of disconnected system of local government. I think it has effectively become a full-time job. Again, work that would have been done through the Association of Irish Local Government would indicate that most councillors put in about 30 hours per week on council-related activities. So if you're a younger person, you're raising a family, you're trying to keep a full-time job, that's an enormous burden. The remuneration has improved since the Moorhead report going back to 2020. I'd like to get across maybe that it's not all about salary either. It's maybe about lack of supports. You know, you're talking about local councillors, they don't have administrative staff, they don't have secretaries. Maybe the meetings are held at family unfriendly hours, and then maybe the lack of thanks as well, and the abuse on the doorsteps and online. For me, a lot of it comes back to the abolition of the town councils. We had more women, we had more young people, more people with disabilities from different ethnic backgrounds, etc., elected at that level of government than any other one, simply because it was easier. A couple of hundred votes, a good network of family and friends could get you onto the town council. And that could be a stepping stone then later onto a city council or a county council. So we've taken away that entry point into politics, which doesn't help with the diversity issue, because it means a large proportion of our councillors now are obviously historically male, maybe middle-aged, in a nice position maybe where they might be retired and can afford to be a councillor as a full-time public representative.
Yeah, I've got to be careful that that isn't what happens, that, you know, only people who can afford to do it from the work and pay point of view end up being councillors. That's a major issue. Brian, thank you so much for that. That's fascinating. So over 100 councillors, as Brian says, will not be standing again on the 7th of June. And that figure is likely to rise as we get closer to that date. That's Brian O'Connell reporting. Still to come in the next hour of the programme, Rishi Sunak says he wants to end what he calls sick note culture in the UK. We'll find out what he's up to now. We're going to explore Ireland's best caves, and the Friday Gathering will join us to discuss the stories that made the headlines this week. But coming up next, the HSE on why it's launching a new childhood vaccination awareness programme this coming Monday.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.